live for you. We thank you that we can come into your presence and worship, and that you're here this very moment. You're in this place with every single person that's in the pews right now. Lord, I pray your life-giving touch upon them, and your life-giving touch upon their family, that you would take away anxiety and fear and worry, and that you would bring them into a place of not the world's version of comfort, but to be comforted by your Holy Spirit. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. I have a few new people here, and we want to welcome you to Central Christian Church. We're a new up-and-coming congregation. We've only been here for about 150 years. So in God's economy, you know, we're just getting started. Going through a lot of changes. One of the things that for some of you new faces that are in here, one of the things is right before the sermon, we have an extended time of worship where people can spend a little bit more time in worship. And a lot of times we ask people to stand, but we don't expect you to stand the whole time. I'll just tell you, you know, I stand the whole time, but you know what, I got grandkids and we go to McDonald's, and I'll tell you what, I'll stand in line for about a half an hour sometimes, you know, before I get waited on. So I'm used to that. But I mean, if your legs are getting tired for any reason during that extended time of worship, feel free to sit down. You can sit down. You know, we don't have the chair police in here, okay? You're sitting, tell them to stand up. No, we have an extended worship, and we ask people to stand at the beginning, but if at some point you need to sit down. I mean, there's times I sit down, okay? There's times when I get, you know, where I'm not even going to go into it. Okay. I do want to welcome everybody again this morning. Have some things that I want to talk about because, you know, sometimes we get a little bit anxious because we get disconnected sometimes from our power source. And we have a power source. Anybody who knows anything about automobiles knows that if your battery is not working, your car is not going to go very far. It'll go for what? How far will it go? If the battery completely goes dead, does it die immediately? Or it will die immediately, right? Or do you have like 2 minutes? It's shot. If the battery's gone, then you don't have any energy. You're gonna die. Okay, just like when my wife destroyed my truck the one time I let her drive it. No, I'm just kidding you, honey. She's back here. I'm getting her back. No, I'm not getting her back. No, she's a fantastic driver. She is a great driver. She's a better driver than I am. Okay, I'm Mr. Leadfoot. I'm Leadfoot on the gas, and I'm Leadfoot on the brakes. Okay, that's me. She is a much better driver than I am. I will give her that. But God's got power in our life as believers. Sometimes as Christians, we think that we have absolutely no power, that it's que sera. You ever remember Doris Day? I used to love Doris Day, glass bottom boat. You know, she was so great. I used to watch her TV show, and she had this one saying, the song that she used to sing, she was famous for, que sera, sera. And a lot of times as Christians, we think that it's que sera, sera. What will be, and that's not exactly accurate if you're a believer in Christ. In fact, God says that that's not accurate at all. There's going to be bad things that are going to happen to good people because we live in a fallen world, as you can see in the news. We live in a fallen world, and bad things happen to very good people. But let me just tell you something. Bad things happen to very bad people, too. Good things happen to good people, and good things happen to bad people. God says we live in a fallen world, and in this world we will have tribulation. But he says, be of good cheer because I've overcome it. I've overcome it for you. In other words, he's taken the heavy lifting for you. And we've got to put our trust in him. And many times we just don't trust him. And because we don't trust him, we don't go to the potential to what he wants to give to us. We don't do what God wants us to do because we don't think we can do it, or we just don't think we have the energy to do it, or we just don't, because we think that we're really powerless. And in reality, he says that inside of us is a nuclear power plant that we must take advantage of. It's power that's been given to us by the Holy Spirit. His Word comes in and he changes our mind, which as we continue in the Word, we become his disciples indeed. And we know the truth, and the truth makes us free. It comes from here and goes down to here. And the truth becomes the switch which turns on the power that has been given to us through his Holy Spirit. We are power plants with power that exists in us. And many times we don't take advantage of that. I want to read a scripture, and it's in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm just going to begin with, I want to get to the fourth verse, but I'm going to begin with the first verse. Simon Peter, of course, Simon Peter, this is the Apostle Peter. Remember, this is the Apostle Peter who denied Christ before he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he became filled with the Holy Spirit, and the guy couldn't stop. The guy couldn't stop. In fact, after he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he preached a sermon and 3,000 people got saved in one day. One day, 3,000. Oh, I wish I had those kind of results. So you guys need to start bringing people in so that we can get them saved. And I want 3,000 of them, okay? In one day. One day he preached a sermon, 3,000 people get saved. And that actually is the day of Pentecost, and that's every year Jews celebrate. They have the Feast of Pentecost. We call it the Feast of Pentecost, and it's called the Feast of the First Fruits of the Wheat Harvest for them. The Feast of the First Fruits of the Wheat Harvest is what they see it as, and it just so happens that because God's people are likened to wheat, Pentecost was the first fruits of the wheat harvest that came forth, and it was the same on the day of Pentecost when 3,000 people became the first fruits of the wheat harvest. And we see that we in this church and in every church, we are the end game of that wheat harvest. And we continue it. We continue to harvest the wheat. Jesus said in his day, he says, the fields are white with harvest. Go out and bring them in. Go out and bring them in. See, there's power that was given to Peter on that day. And that same power is within us. It's an anointing. And a lot of times we don't take advantage of that anointing because we don't think we have the power. Because how many of you ever prayed for something that didn't happen the way you wanted it to? You ever prayed for something and God didn't give it the way you wanted it to happen? Does that mean that God doesn't answer our prayers? No, God always answers our prayers. God's always answering our prayers. We just need to trust in him that he's answering our prayers and has answered our prayers. But let's go into 1 Peter. He says this, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us, by righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. So Peter is speaking to Christians. He's speaking to believers. He said, to those who have obtained like precious faith. These next few verses are about Christian people. They are about people who are filled with the Spirit. They're about people who are seeking God and wanting to know his word. Because he says, they've got the like precious faith. He says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. He says, let it be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things. Everyone say all things. His divine power has given to us all things. Now, what is all things? All things is not 82%. Okay? When that word all in the Greek, it means all. It means exactly what it says. He's given to us all things, And we don't realize what God has placed within inside of us. We don't realize the fact that He's caused us to be people of faith, people of power, not people of anxiety, not people of fear, not people of worry, not people of defeat, but people of victory, people who are overcomers. In fact, He says, He gives this challenge to each and every single one of us. For those that overcome will be a pillar in the house of my God. To those who overcome, to those who understand the power that is within them and begin to act upon that power. Now, the thing about it is if you know that you've got power, you've got to act upon this. I love the illustration that was given by Tony Evans. Tony Evans gave an illustration. I saw it on Facebook. It was a fantastic illustration because we sort of have that sometimes I go chaplain at Parkview, and everything is on what they call motion sensor light switches. Okay, you know what motion sensor light switches are? That means that if nobody's moving in the room, it goes dark. There's times when I'll be sitting there and I'll be working at a computer at Parkview Huntington Hospital. I'll be working at a computer because I go and visit people, and then they require me to go in and tell them everybody that I visited. So I'll go in and I'll visit and put the names of the people that I visited. And sometimes I'll sit there and I might get a little tired, and I'll sit there and go. And you have to, you know. And then all of a sudden, as I'm sitting there, the lights go off. I'm going like this. And sometimes the lights come on, and sometimes I got to get out of my chair to wake the lights up. And it's interesting about that is because if there's no motion, there's no activity, there's no light. So if I was to go out of the room, it wouldn't take very long before the lights would go out. And the lights will stay out. And they'll stay out. Now, let me ask you this. Does that mean that there's no power? No. There's extreme power. It's just waiting for someone to come in and activate it and to move on it. And because if I go out of the room, lights go out, and I go walking around, and I go visit a couple people and see them, see how they're doing, and I come back, and I just put their name in the computer, you know, and I go in, and the moment I step in the room and it begins to sense movement, the power comes on. And that's exactly like how it works with us. When we act upon what the Word of God tells us, when we act upon the fact that we have power in prayer, when we actually believe that if I was to lay hands on somebody and they'd get healed, if they actually believed that if I was to lay hands on somebody and God would move in their financial realm, if I'd actually believed that if I would pray for somebody that God would actually move in whatever's going on with your children or whatever's going on with your grandparents or whatever's going on with your parents or your brothers or sister, if we pray and ask God to really do something like we do every single Sunday here, that God would actually move. If we actually believe that, we've got to pray and believe it, and God will do something. Now, I don't know what He's going to do, but the power there is there. And if I want to release it, it'll happen. But I've got to release it. I've got to move. I've got to do what God has called me to do, and then that power that He's placed within me will work. Now, if you don't do anything, if you don't do anything with the Word of God, if you don't act upon the Word of God, if you don't actually pray for people, if you don't actually pray for yourself, God won't do anything. Well, He knows where I'm at. Yes, and He's trying to get you out of it because you're not acting on what His Word says. I just get so tickled sometimes when people will run away from God and they won't talk to Him for months on end, and then they expect Him to act whenever they call on Him. We treat God as if He's our bellhop. Bellhop, bags, please. And we don't talk to Him like that, but basically that's how we talk to God when we treat Him as one who's not alive in us, who's not there. And we will go for weeks. Can anybody raise their hand and say amen? We'll go for weeks sometimes and don't talk to God. And then we come back to him. See, how do you think my wife would treat me if I treated her that way? How do you think she would respond to me when I need something? I'm so thankful I have a wonderfully beautiful, non-violent wife. Because she so supports, and I just so appreciate her. She so supports. Even when I act bad, she so supports me. And such great love that she has for me. Now see, God still loves us. One of the sermons that I've got in the hopper is talking about the mercy of God, because we need to hear about God's mercy too, because He has mercy on us. He's really got grace and mercy. And we treat Him like bellhop, but yet He still says, you know what, my arms are open, you just need to come. Let's reason together. You want to know why you're going through what you're going through? Let me tell you why you're going through it. Well, why, God? Why don't you answer? Because you never talk to me. What am I to answer? Well, I ask you to do this. You say, yeah, what else have you said to me lately? What am I, your bellhop? Who's Lord? Is Jesus Lord? Or are you Lord? See, we get that confused. And I do too. I'm not putting anybody down in this room, because I'm preaching to me. Who's Lord? Well, Jesus is. You know, if we start acting like Jesus is really Lord of our life, and then begin to start doing what the Word says, and begin to start praying, and begin to start believing that He's put a potential within us to do everything that He's called us to do, you know what? Things would start happening. Things would start happening. We'd start seeing God move in our life, and we'd get excited about it. And then we'd come to church on Sunday, excited about, ready to worship, and say, I want to tell you about what God did. I want to tell you what God did. I'm not saying you're not going to go through trials or tribulations. You absolutely will. I'm not putting down the trouble that you may be going through at this very moment. You may be going through an extreme trial. I understand that. I don't understand what you're going through, but I understand that you do have trials. You know why? Because I've got trials, and I get the same way sometimes, and I get the poo-poo attitude. God doesn't care about me. God doesn't love me. God's not moving in my life. That's not true. He wants to move in your life. It's just that you're not in the room. The light's not coming on because you're not walking in the room. You're sitting there sleeping. And I'm talking to me. I'm sitting there sleeping. The lights will go off. Well, you don't need my light. You don't need my power. You need to wake up. In fact, in the book of Isaiah, it's exactly what He tells the children of Israel. Wake up, O sleeper. The lights are out. You need to start moving. Another example of potential that goes unrealized. At Indiana University, they have an event every year called the Indy, or not the Indy, it's called the Little 500. Little 500. Well, Purdue, not to be outdone by Indiana, they have their own event, only it's much more exciting. I'm just kidding, Stephen, because I'm an Indiana grad, sort of, in a way. But they have this exciting event called the Grand Prix. It's called the Little Grand Prix. The reason it's the Little Grand Prix is because a bunch of engineers got together and tried to see how fast they could get a go-kart running, and it became an event. And I was a part of that event because I was in a fraternity house at the time. And I became a part of that event. The Little 500 is where about 30-some-odd go-karts are hyped up and souped up by college students. And they race around a track for I don't know how many miles it is, but it's like a little race, you know, that they have every year, just like the Little 500. It's the Little Grand Prix, and those go-karts could go up to 60-70 miles an hour. They're fast. Okay, I mean, you can't go that fast going around the turns, but in straightaways you can get up to 60-70 miles an hour. That's a fast for a go-kart. And we had a guy in our fraternity who was really good. His name was Bobby Fleek. Bobby Fleek. And Bobby Fleek was a great racer. He was really good. We had a small fraternity, but we had probably the best racer on campus, on Purdue's campus. And he got in there, and I became a part of it because they asked me, because they had a second go-kart and they wanted someone to take it, so they asked me to take the go-kart. It wasn't because I was this super daredevil. It was because I was little. That's why they asked me to do it, because, you know, the littler you are, the lighter your go-kart, the faster you go, all right? And I was probably one of the littlest guys, not quite the littlest, but close to the littlest guy in the fraternity house. And so he said, Chris, why don't you take this go-kart? We'll have Bobby, he'll have this go-kart, and of course he's going to win because he's great, but you know what? We'll have another person in the race, you know? And so we entered two in the race, and they got me out on the track because I'd never raced a go-kart before. They got not like that, and they got me out on the track, and I began to go, and they began to do time trials to see how fast I could go. And you know, I was zipping down that track, and, you know, and I'd take those turns, you know, and I go around, and I'm going to blow Bobby off the road, okay? This is what I'm thinking. I got back to after I got went around a couple times, and they're timing me and seeing how I'm doing, and I get back to the starting place, you know, where they're all at, and I start looking, and I'm going, and I'm excited. I'm going, man, I was just burning it up. I was burning up the road, and I looked at them and said, yeah, how good do they do? And they just sort of you're not going very fast. I'm going, what? I was zipping around those curves. No, you were going, you went really slow. Really? And so I get in there and I try to do better, and I can't get the speed up. And it's not because of the go-kart. Go-kart is perfect. It's because of the driver. See, I'm thinking I'm going really fast because, to be honest with you, I'm scared. But I'm trying to do the best that I can. I think I'm going fast. I'm not. Long story short, we picked another guy to do it who had raced before and was a better candidate, even though he was bigger than me and went very fast. He was on track to coming in second. It was Bobby was third. This other guy was second. And then there was another guy who was first from another fraternity house. We had the second and third place locked up. But Bobby, he's a good racer. End of the story is Bobby ends up, and the last two laps of the race, he ends up, because of a crash, ends up able to overtake the first guy, the second and the first guy, and he ends up winning the race. He ends up winning the race. Our guy won the race. But the second guy ended up not winning the race because he had a problem with the gas cable broke. And so he ended up like 16th or 17th, all right? But he was slated to get second. I didn't race because I didn't realize the potential of what could be done in that go-kart. See, I could have gone a lot faster, but I didn't. And see, as Christians, we could do a lot more than we do, but we don't. We don't realize the potential. We don't realize the power that's in our cart. We don't realize that the anointing that's on us could heal people. We don't realize that the anointing that is on us can heal the minds of people simply by praying for them. You know, there's times when all someone needs is for you to go up and give them a hug, say, I love you. Or something like, and we don't do it because we don't realize the healing and the anointing power that's in us. We don't realize the power that can, see, and God displays it over and over again, and he tells us that power is in us. In fact, he says, when someone is sick, call the elders of the church and pray for them, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. Why? Because the anointing and the power is in us. But we don't believe it. We don't believe it. And so we're never able to get the go-kart up to speed. Whereas we just trust. We trust in the track. We trust in the go-kart. We trust in our own abilities. We could do it. And that's the same thing for Christian believers. If we would just trust in the Holy Spirit, we would just trust in the Word of God. We would stop looking at what we see and what we feel, and instead we need to just push down on the gas and open it up. See, let me just tell you something about go-kart racing. At 60 and 70 miles an hour, you never need the brake. I mean, you might need it if you're about to run into something. Then you might use the brake. But if you're not running into something in a go-kart, you don't need the brake. You just need to operate the gas. Sometimes you've got to let up a little bit on the gas to take the curves. And then you press down and about the time you're about ready to take the curve, you keep that foot on the gas, and right about as you're making the turn, you can let off just a little bit, and then you push it back down again. And that's how you have to do it. And you let off a little bit, you push it down again. You let off a little bit, and you push it. You never need the brake when you're racing in a go-kart. Okay? Next time you go to one of these amusement parks, test me on it. Just keep your foot on the gas. It's not going to flip. If it does flip, guess what? They've got safety harnesses and safety things in there. It's not going to flip, but it feels like it might. See, sometimes it feels like God's not there. But he's there every second of every day, of every step that you take. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which, verse 4, which is what I want to get to, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Now let that sink in for just a second. Through the precious promises of God's word, we partake in his divine nature. What was the nature of Jesus? The nature of Jesus was to be holy. The nature of Jesus was to exhibit the power of God. The nature of Jesus was to pray for people. The nature of Jesus was to preach in power and in victory. The nature of Jesus was to bring thousands to himself and millions and billions to himself. That was his nature. And he's called us to the very same thing, that through the word of God and through the power that he's placed in us, we can be instruments of his peace to a lost and a dying world. And we can be instruments to people who need Jesus. We are living in a church that needs to grow, not by transfer growth, although transfer growth sometimes has to take place, but by growth, by getting people to come to the Lord. And it happens as we preach the gospel and as we let the word of God go through us and as we let the power of God be the power of God. And we can pray for people and we can minister to them. We can pray for physical healing. We can pray for emotional and mental healing. I'm not going to say that God's going to do everything we ask. I'm not saying that. Because sometimes God says no, and sometimes God says yes, but not yet. And sometimes we just aren't pushing the gas. We're not pushing on the gas. And so his anointing doesn't come from us. See, when Jesus pushed on the gas, he pushed on the gas so much that all they had to do was touch the hem of his garment and it would just flow out. It would just flow out. Remember that? Isn't that kind of odd? Do you remember that scripture? A woman who had an issue of blood touched his garment and immediately she was healed. And Jesus said, I feel, what was it? What was the word? Virtue. Feel virtue. Leave me. Well, that was his power. I feel something left me. What was that? That was the power of God, the anointing. Do you think you're any different? Well, yeah, you're not at Jesus' level. I get that. But he's called you to do the very same thing. In fact, he says that the things that I do, you're going to do also, but greater things will you do because I'm going to my Father. He left a mission of going to a world and letting his anointing, his virtue, his power, however you want to describe it, to leave you through you to heal people. And sometimes it's just a word. It's just a word. I visit a lot of people at hospitals. I can't tell you how many times I've come to somebody that didn't really want to talk to me. And within a couple moments, I was able to say, listen, I want you to know God loves you. And I'll be praying for you. And a tear would just come down. Or I would leave that room and they'd say, thank you for coming. I needed to hear what you said. Some people may be at the very brink. They may be at their last straw. They're at the end of their rope. Can I give you any other examples? And a word from you turns the whole thing around. That's how Jesus operated. He says, now I put that power in you. You know, because he said, I'm going to my Father, and I'm going to send that power down to you in the form of the Holy Spirit, who's going to bring your comforter and never leave you, forsake you. That potential lives inside of you. Now, where is it? I don't know. I can't define it in my body parts. I can't define it. Is it in my heart? That's because in our culture, we think love comes from the heart. In the Old Testament, it came from the bowels. I love you with all my bowels. I heard a comedian say that one time. I can't define where it's at. I just know it's in there. And it's in you and each and every single one of you who've received Christ as your Lord and Savior. Each and every, get this. If you don't get anything else, the Spirit and the power of God is in each and every single one of you who've received Christ. You've got the anointing. You've got the potential to be a great racer. You do. The thing is, do you want it? Last scripture, and I'm going to close. Comes in Ephesians. Actually, I have a couple more scriptures. I'm not going to get to all of them. But one scripture I do want to get to. In chapter 1 of Ephesians, the 4th verse, he says, I got to read the 3rd verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, and we can give those spiritual blessings to others if we believe it, if we act on it, if we walk in the room and let the lights come on. But you got to move. You got to do.